Well, I just want to speak to you for a few moments this morning on one verse from Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 17. It may seem like a strange verse to be speaking on Christmas morning, but bear with me, we'll get there. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, that's on page 949 in the Church Bible. 949. Romans 14 and verse 17, we read these words: "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Well, I'm sure you recognize the words. It's one of the most famous songs of all time. It's been voted at the top of the charts in many sort of popularity charts down through the years. John Lennon's "Imagine." Well, I don't know about you, but there's things that I might disagree with. I would disagree with, of course, in the song, but there's a lot that I would agree with as well. I can understand what he's saying, can't you? Can't we all associate a little bit, at least, with what he's saying? Imagine. There's no religion. Well, it all seems like a terribly confused mess, doesn't it? Religion in the world. Humanity fighting over holy days. Whether it's supposed to be Friday, that the Muslims believe, or Saturday, as according to the Jews, or Sunday, according to the Christians, or whether we're to fight over a particular city, a particular holy place in the world, whether it's Jerusalem or Mecca or Bethlehem or whatever we might say, that it all seems such a terrible mess. And then you get, of course, arguments over foods and dress and all sorts of different things that could come to mind, perhaps. And I don't know about you, but I want to imagine it all away, don't you? I'm sick and tired of religion, aren't you? Sick and tired of the mess that there is in this world. The bombs and the wars that are created. The bloodshed that happens in the name of religion. And there's so much of it going on. But you see, what John Lennon simply imagined, Jesus Christ actually accomplished. That's what he's saying here in this verse. Listen to what he's saying. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually brought in a world without religion. That's what he's saying. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. You see, that was the problem that Paul was addressing here in this chapter. We haven't got time now, but if you go back to beginning of the chapter, verse 1 and following, you'll see there that Paul's dealing with arguments that often occur between Christians. It says, "As for one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while a weak person eats only vegetables." And then he goes on, and then in verse 5, he says, "One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike," and so on. And you can see what he's doing, can't you? You can see he's addressing these issues that are going on in the church there. And some people are very rigid and very firm and very strict in the things that they think that we should do as Christians. And others perhaps see that they're more free and they've been released from these things. And they're starting arguing about it all. And Paul's saying, no, look, listen. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You're missing the point. It's not a matter of eating and drinking. That's good news for turkeys, isn't it? I don't want to spoil your Christmas dinner and make you feel guilty about it. That's not the point. But do you see what he's saying? It's not about these things. Christianity is not about feasting and fasting. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about rules and regulations and days and ceremonies and clothes and food and drink and all of these different kinds of things that we can feel so strongly about. It's not about that. All of that has been replaced now in Christ. Christ has brought in a kingdom that is totally different to the religions of the world. Well, what's it all about? If it's not about eating and drinking, what is it about? Well, he tells us here, doesn't he? Three words. And really, they sum up what Christianity is all about. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, I just want to think briefly about that. We haven't got time to go into all three of those descriptions. But let's just think a little bit about what Paul is saying there. He says, the kingdom of God is about righteousness. It's a matter of righteousness. What on earth is righteousness, you might be saying? What is that about? It's not something that most people think about in the world, is it? But you know, righteousness is the big question that the Bible addresses right from beginning all the way through to the end. It's the big issue. From the moment our first parents fell in Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, there's one question that is being asked. How can God, who is holy and righteous and pure, how can he and we now coexist? Here we are, we've fallen. We are sinners. How on earth can we coexist with him? There's a wonderful hymn in our hymn book. We're not going to sing it this morning, but it's a wonderful hymn, one of my favorites. But it starts like this. It says, eternal light, how pure the soul must be when placed beneath thy searching sight. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. Can live and look on thee. I mean, there's very poetic language, but do you see what he's saying? Do you see what he's highlighting there? He's highlighting the absolute purity that any one of us is going to need if we're going to be able to stand in the presence of God and not shrink back. What he's saying there is, look, if we're going to stand before him, if we're going to be placed underneath this searching sight of the eternal light, if we're going to be able to live in his presence and calmly look on him and live, we need to be absolutely pure. You see what he's saying? How pure the soul must be if we're going to stand in his presence. How can I shrink not? That's the question he's asking. And that's the question that the Bible asks from beginning to end. You remember who Bobby Moore was? Those of you who are old enough at least, I'm sure most of the others as well. But you remember in 1966... Bobby Moore was the captain of the England team that won the World Cup at Wembley against the Germans. And he was interviewed some time later, but obviously before he died, a few years before he died. Bobby Moore was interviewed, and in the interview, the interviewer said, "It must have been a wonderful experience in front of your home crowd to go up and collect the World Cup from the Queen there in Wembley." Do you know what Bobby Moore said? He says, "Oh no. It was terrifying. As I went up the steps, I saw that the Queen had on some beautiful white gloves. I looked down and my hands were filthy with Wembley mud. I thought, how can I shake hands with her like this?" And as you, if you see the footage, you can still see it. But you can see the footage, and he's walking up the steps, and he's doing this. He's wiping his hands on his shirt, and looking for any clean spaces on his uniform, what do you call it, kit. And he's trying to clean his hands before he gets up to shake her hands, because he's terrified that he might stain these beautiful, pure, white gloves that belong to the Queen. Well, if he was worried about that, how much more We ought to be worried about going before the God who is eternal light. You see, we don't just have filthy hands. We've got filthy lips, dirty minds, and a dirty heart, haven't we? You know you have. And so our greatest need is righteousness, you see. Purity. Perfection. We need a righteousness that absolutely matches His. So don't think to yourself, well, I'll live a little bit better. I'll clean up my life. I'll clean up my act and I'll be okay. Not going to work. It's not enough. I'll never forget Vernon Higham. We sing some of his hymns sometimes. But he came to rugby in the early 80s when I was just a very young Christian. And I remember him preaching in the pulpit there. And I can see him now in my mind's eye because it was so dramatic. It was so powerful what he said. He was talking about this issue, the righteousness that we need before God. And he said, this is the righteousness of God. We need a righteousness that absolutely matches His. Well, where are you going to find that? How on earth are we going to be able to be so righteous that we can stand before this holy and pure and righteous God? How? Well, that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? I don't know if you play chess. I don't play an awful lot of chess myself. I'm not that good. I've never really studied it or anything. But I know the moves and just generally a little bit about it. But I do know that there's such a thing called the King's Gambit. If you know chess, you'll know what that is. There's a King's Gambit. And basically, the King's Bishop's pawn is sent out as a sacrifice, basically, to save the king. The idea is that this pawn is moved out, and if the bait is taken and the opponent takes this pawn, well, the move is very, very quick and you can have the opposition in checkmate. And you say you've won the game, and this pawn is just sent out as a kind of a sacrifice. But you see, you remember what Jesus, what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2? Today is born unto you a Saviour. He's Christ, the Lord, the Saviour. Christ literally just basically means King, you know. It's King. He is the King. And you see what the angels are saying then, basically? They're saying that it's exactly the opposite of the King's Gambit. The pawn isn't sent out to save the king. The king is sent out to save the pawns. That's the wonder of the gospel, isn't it? That's the wonder of Christmas. The king has come. Why? To die. He's come to give himself for our sin. The three wise men, they knew that, didn't they? That's why I read that passage from Matthew earlier. They bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was for a king. Frankincense was a special gift that was often given to priests. And myrrh they used to use for the anointing of dead bodies. Did you see what the kings are saying? Here is the king who has come to sacrifice himself. He is the one that is going to die in our place. Why? Well, let me tell you, let me answer that question in the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see? There it is again. So that we might become the righteousness of God. There's this great exchange that Paul is describing there in that verse. He takes our sin. He becomes our sin. He becomes the very object of sin and the wrath of God. And he suffers in our place. He takes our sin. But we're given his righteousness, you see. His righteousness is placed on us. And so we have that righteousness that perfectly matches God's. Because it's God's own righteousness. It's given to us. Now the result of that, when you begin to understand that, justified by faith, We have peace with God. When you understand and grasp the implications of what was going on in Calvary and at Bethlehem, what a relief, isn't it? What a relief. Don't we then begin to enjoy peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Isn't it that is the basis of our salvation? So Paul says, it's not a matter of eating and drinking. Get away from that. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Chuck Swindoll, who was one of the men implicated in the Watergate affair, and he was sent to prison for his part in the deception and in the Watergate scandal. He became a Christian when he was in prison. And he said this, commenting on the words that we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. He said, there is more relief in those three words, justified by faith. There is more relief in those three words than any others. So when a sick person is told, you're cured, what a relief. When an imprisoned person or someone on death row is told, you are free, what a relief. But when a sinner is told, you are justified, you are righteous now. You've been given the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, the relief surely is far greater. What peace. What peace and joy. I don't have to produce a righteousness of my own anymore. I don't have to worry about whether I'm eating the right stuff or celebrating the right day or doing this or doing that. It's not about that. We've got to get away from all of that. It's about Christ, what He has done. He has done it for me. So I am no longer His enemy. I'm at peace with God. And I can enjoy salvation. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And that's what Christmas is about. If we've got eyes to see it. There was a very famous musical conductor, by the name of Sir Thomas Beecham. He was born in the late 19th century and he died in 1961, I think it was. Very famous at the early part of the 20th century and well known. He was in Fortnum and Masons in a very famous shop in London at the time, and he recognised the woman's face across the floor of the shop, but he couldn't quite remember who she was. You know what it's like. It can be a bit embarrassing, can't it? Couldn't put a name to the face, so he kind of just shied away. He sort of put his head down and tried to walk away, but she was quicker than he was. And she caught up with him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, Sir Thomas, how are you? Oh, very well, he said, thank you very much. And how are you? Well, I'm all right, she said. But my brother hasn't been too good recently. He's back at work now, mind. Oh, right, said Mr. Thomas Beecham. Really? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that he's not been well. Tell me again, what is it that he does? Oh, he's still king. He was talking to Princess Mary, the brother of George VI. Couldn't recognize her. What an embarrassment. But how sad it is when people don't recognize the King that has been born, the Savior of the world. Let's not waste Christmas. Let's not waste the time. Let's remember and rejoice in our Savior who came, the King, for the pawns. For us, we're worthless. But He gave Himself for us. Worthless. But the God who spoke the universe into being came for you and me. And if we trust in Him, if we're relying on His death on the cross for us, and that alone, then we are righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. We have peace with God and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, let's praise Him for it. Amen.